Is from 1 Samuel chapter 2. Page number is 288 from our Pew Bibles. We're using the ESV 288. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is the very first message from the Old Testament that I'm going to preach on. My sermon series will be a prayer. As I mentioned at the beginning of the worship service, my plan is to make six messages from the book of Old Testament to look at people's prayer so that we can adopt their prayers into our lives in 2016. So this is our first message from our series on prayer. Before reading the text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are ready to open your scripture again, your word. Whenever we read your message, your word from the Bible, and sometimes our hearts are pumping and running really fast because we are excited. Sometimes we feel nothing, Lord. But Lord, everything is yours. We know that. Would you please send your Holy Spirit so that our heart will be moving fast today to know you, to understand your word, to bless our hearts, Lord. Lord, we're going to look at Hannah's prayer today. As we open this prayer, would you help us to focus our minds on our hearts on Jesus Christ, nothing else. Also bless me as I'm going to open the Bible, read and deliver the message to your people and to me. Lord, bless me and bless my lips so that we all see your glory in this very moment. We pray your son in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God from 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalted in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out of bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall men prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." This is the word of God. Now, 1 Samuel, we know that, in chapter 1 and 2, tells us a story of the birth of Samuel. We know him, very famous person in the Bible, and his mother, her name is Hannah. There are stories. Now, our main text today is 1 Samuel chapter 2, which is titled as Hannah's Prayer in our Bibles. So we're going to do something today. Through Hannah's prayer, we will carefully look into her life and her faith in God, and we'll be encouraged through her prayer, or we will be challenged through her prayer as we begin 2016. Maybe we can say, well, we will pray more, we will spend more time with God, and more like a personal communal prayer time. And then we cannot be like Hannah. I don't think so. But we can do the exactly same thing like Hannah, her prayer. However, through her prayer, through her life, certainly we will learn something about prayer. And we will apply our learning to our prayer life, our daily prayer habit. So my intention is through our sermon series from today, even Hannah's prayer, bring our hearts to the God, to our Christ, and spend more time to pray. That's my intention. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2, our text will be divided into three sections, if it is possible, which is verse 1 and 2 will be Hannah's praise, and verses 3 to 5 will be Hannah's faith in God, and verses 6 to 10, and God's mighty deeds and action for His people. It can be different sections, but I will go through verses 1 and 2 first, and then 6 and 10 second, and 3 and maybe 4, 5, the last at the end of my sermon. That's how I constructed my sermon today. Now, although our text is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, I will bring stories from chapter 1, which is Hannah's story, for our better understanding of Hannah's prayer habit and her life. Now, Hannah's prayer starts and begins with praise in verse 1 and 2. Hannah's prayer is very specifically begins with praising God, and she says, "My heart exalts in the Lord, and my horn is exalted in the Lord." Now we know what that means here. She is praising the Lord. Here the word we see, the horn in verse 1, the horn metaphor now gives us a picture of an animal. And the animal is lifting his head up high. And then the animal is proudly showing his strength because he has power. So Hannah is bringing that picture to her life and her prayers. See that she sees that she's lifting her heart to God. And she's very excited when she prayed. And she declares that God is the source of my strength. My horn is exalted in the Lord. And praise and exaltation is one of ways of her faith in God. And we see that heart exalted and horn is exalted in the Lord. And we know that we do the same thing in our prayer. We praise God beginning at the beginning of our worship or at the beginning of our praise. We bless God and we give thanks to Him and we praise God's mighty works in our lives. Sometimes like Hannah's prayer. Now here Hannah gives us the reasons for her praise and exaltation. That's very interesting. And she said, My mouth derides my enemies, and because I rejoice in your salvation. Now, first thing, she praised God, and second thing, she gives us reasons why she praised God. From her prayer, we could see that she was in very deep trouble, because she said, my mouth derides my enemies. Now, yet God saved her from her distress and trouble, and I rejoice in your salvation. So we have to know what happened to her. And the story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now back to Hannah's story. And Hannah has a husband, and her husband's name is Elkanah. Now Elkanah had two wives. Now from that story we can know what's happening there. Now his first wife's name was Hannah, and his second wife's name was Peninnah. Now the thing is, Peninnah had children. But the first, oh, so she was a barren woman, we can say. And in our text, chapter 1 and verse 6, why she didn't have children. Chapter 1 and verse 6 tells us God closed her womb. But no one knows about that happening at that time. That's why Hannah didn't have any children. Now, in the biblical world at the time, having children is very important. That was a sign of God's blessings and a source of joy. Through your children, you can rejoice. So think about Hannah. Since Hannah didn't have any children, surely it was a shame for her. Now, the problem is that Elkanah took his family to Shiloh every year to worship the Lord and every year. And then after worshiping God in Shiloh, usually the worshipers ate on the leftover sacrifice animals. And so he did it. He did it with his family. So Elkanah gave a portion to Peninnah and her children, as other people do. But in chapter 1, verse 5 says, but he gave a double portion to Hannah to express his love and care for Hannah. So she's in good hands, taking people, her husband wanted to take care of her. The Hannah's problem was not Elkanah, her husband, Elkanah's love for her, but her real problem was her rival. Elkanah is another wife, Peninnah. In chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her. Now, we have about 7 and 8 words here, so we can imagine what's happening there. And it says, because the Lord has closed her womb. Now, we can imagine that Peninnah ridiculed Hannah. Hey, you cannot have a baby. I have many children. And Peninnah mocked Hannah because she didn't have any children. And Peninnah provoked Hannah. And then our text says it really, really irritated Hannah's heart. It's very difficult to get those assault and insult and all kinds of words from the second wife. In verse 7, it's not only one time. It says it went on year and year. She provoked her. Wow. What would you do if someone constantly provokes you for years? What would you do? What if someone falsely accused you for years? What about just only 1 month? What are you gonna do? I'm going to bring another story at this moment. In Genesis 16, we will see a similar story, Sarah's story. I'm not trying to say Sarah is a bad woman, but what happened to her is Abraham's wife, Sarah, couldn't have children. Now, Sarah gave her servant, Hagar, the Egyptian slave to Abraham, to her husband. Now, eventually, and we know the story, Hagar was pregnant and gave birth to a son, Ishmael. Now, when Hagar was pregnant, she did the same thing. She looked down on Sarah. Oh, I was your servant one time. Now I have a child. I have a child, and I have more power. What are you going to do? Now, at this point, in Genesis 16 tells us a story that Sarah was very angry with Hagar's attitude. So, basically, Sarah kicked Hagar out of the house. So Hagar ran away from them. Now think about that story, Genesis 16. Then what about Hannah here? Since Hannah knew one thing, that Elkanah loved her because he gave her double portion every time after worship. So since she knew that, she could have asked him to do something with that lady, to do something with Peninnah and her misbehavior. That's kind of normal way we can react. If someone provokes us for years and months, we're going to we're going to find a way to even everything. She didn't have to do same thing like Sarah did, kick her out of the house, but at least she could have asked her husband to stop her, to stop Peninnah's action and words and everything. But interestingly, Hannah did something differently. And in chapter 1 of verse 10, this is what she did. She was deeply distressed. And next line, and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. I think that is something God tells us something. Yes, in her distress, for years, Hannah came to the Lord and prayed. Now, I researched about Hannah a little bit this week. Among many women in the Old Testament, the Hannah was described as the most pious woman because of that. In her distress, she didn't go anywhere, but she came to the Lord. In the Old Testament, no other woman is mentioned to go up to the Lord's house to pray but Hannah. That is amazing. And here she wept bitterly before the Lord. And she's talking about her situation and prayed hard for about telling God about her trouble. And other things that I found is that this is quotation. Hannah is the only woman shown making and fulfilling a vow to the Lord. And later she said, I'm going to give my son to you. She's the only woman who make a vow to God in the Old Testament. And another quotation, she's also the only woman who is specifically said to pray. Many times in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Hannah prayed. And she was the only woman who kept calling the name of the Lord in her prayer. That's amazing. And in even chapter 1 and verse 11, she said, the Lord Almighty. How can you do that? How can you pray like Hannah when you have lots of trouble? You're not doing good physically, financially, or whatever, all kinds of trouble around you. You're thinking that God is a million miles away, like a Psalm 10. Where are you, God? How can you say, how can I say in the middle of my distress, I can say, the Lord Almighty, listen to me. That's why some scholars say that Hannah became a theologian through her prayer. She got to know God. She got to know the Lord better because she prayed hard. And she came to know God through her prayer. And that's amazing to know that she was the first woman seeking God's answer rather than seeking her own solutions for her trouble. Like a Sarah. That's why in chapter 2 and verse 1, she said, she declared that, I rejoice in your salvation. If she did something to save herself, to solve the problem, she cannot say that, I rejoice in your salvation. But she gave everything to the Lord and asked God's help, prayed to the Lord. That's why she said, I rejoice in your salvation. That should be our declaration of this year after our prayer. Lord, we rejoice in your salvation because we prayed. In her distress, Hannah came to the Lord and prayed. And as I mentioned about the book, Tim Keller's book, Tim Keller says in his book, Prayer is to encounter God and get to know Him, meeting God. And he said also, through Hannah's prayer, and Hannah had experienced who God really is to her. This is what Hannah said. There is none holy like the Lord. For there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Now, God's incomparability is a common theme in the Bible because we know that God is the Creator. And based on Hannah's prayer, why she said that there is none holy like you, there is none beside you, there is no rock like our God is, because the Lord, God is the source of life. Based on chapter 1 and verse 6, the Lord has closed her womb. You know the storyline. God closed the womb. Later on, verse 1 and 20, Hannah conceived and bore a son. God opened her womb. He is the source of life. He is the giver of life. Therefore, there is none holy like our God. There is none beside our God like our God. There is no rock like our God. Hannah's heart was completely broken. I was trying to understand Hannah's heart. I couldn't. Even Hannah was in deep distress. Hannah's husband came, Elkanah came to her and, you know what, I'm doing great job. I gave you a bunch of things and I'm better than 10 sons. And one commentator said, man, you will never understand your wives. Elkanah did not understand Hannah's heart. Hannah was completely broken. She was in deep trouble after trouble for years. The solution for her trouble was to kneel before God. In her trouble, she showed her faith in God through her prayer. Now, her prayer is not one-time prayer. Based on chapter 1, verse 13, we can say that Hannah's prayer is consistent and a fervent prayer. And chapter 1, verse 13 says, Hannah was speaking in her heart, and only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. That means she's not talking, but inside praying. Now eventually, the priest Eli thought she was a drunken woman. Because that time after worship, they drunk. So she was a drunken woman, and then he rebuked her. And this is what Hannah replied to the priest. No, my lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. She's saying what she has right now. I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink. That's not me. But I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. That's what she did. And I have been speaking out my great anxiety and vexation. That's what she did. That's her prayer. So by reading this verse again, we can think of our prayer life. I'm a man in trouble in spirit. And I haven't drunken neither wine nor a strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. I don't know. It's really difficult to apply this rule to me. But somehow we need to. I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. That's what she had. All trouble she had, she was reporting to God. The same spiritual principle applies to our prayer life. We might have some serious troubles that we cannot talk to anybody. Sometimes I have a secret things that I'm not going to share with you. I have sinned before God. That's right. And we feel that our sins are crushing us every day. There's no way out. But as Hannah prayed, we need to bring ourselves to God. There is none like our God. There's no one like our Lord Jesus Christ who forgives our sins. There's none beside our God. Therefore, we need to come to our God and we need to pray. We need to pour our souls and our troubles before the Lord. And this is what Paul says in his teaching in his Philippians chapter 4, famous prayer. He said, do not be anxious. Okay, don't worry about anything, but in everything, everything in prayer and supplication with a thanksgiving. And he said, let your requests be made known to God. Simply pray. And what will happen in verse 7? Then peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is what we see in Hannah's prayer. Verses 6 and 10 is God's mighty work in Hannah's life, even our life. In Hannah's prayer, she praised God and she praised the work of the sovereign God. That's verses 6 and 10 in chapter 2. It's very interesting in reading 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It says, 6, the Lord kills and brings to life. That's what the Lord does. God is a source of life, as I mentioned already. Verse 7, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and exalts. God is a source of our blessings. Her faith is in God's blessing is intensified in verse 8 again. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes and inherit a seat of the honor. The Lord does everything. What we can do is we need to pray. It's interesting to see another verses in 9 and 10. Again, the Lord will guard His people. In verse 10, the Lord will judge the world. In verse 10, the Lord will give strength to us. In verse 10, the Lord will exalt the horn of His anointed. Through her prayer, she found something. The sovereign God does everything. If we summarize, we try to summarize all these things, verse 6, 7, and 9, and 10, God's mighty work for His people, we can summarize just one sentence. God answers our prayers. Through her prayer, this is what she found. When we pray, God will answer. God will bring something to us. God makes poor and makes rich, and God raises everybody. God lifts our church. God answers our prayer. The answer is very simple, because we are His children. Because God will guard us. In verse 9, it says, He will guard the feet of His faithful ones. If we apply that teaching to the New Testament in Ephesians, God will answer because we are His chosen ones. We are His people. After Hannah's prayer, even in her prayer, Hannah committed herself and her son to the Lord. That's very interesting. That's Hannah's reaction to God's answer to her prayer. In her prayer, Hannah committed her son to the Lord. That's chapter 1, verse 11. O Lord of hosts, if You will indeed look on the affliction of Your servant, remember Me and not forget Your servant, but will give to Your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Then here we see that Hannah dedicated her son to the Lord, which is very common in the Old Testament. They are dedicating their first son to the Lord. That's what the teaching Bible says. Now here, Hannah promised that and her son would not have his hair cut and would not drink wine. That means Hannah will give him to the Lord like a lifelong Nazarite, like a Samson, completely giving back to God. Now if we read this only this part, it seems that Hannah was making a deal with God. If you give me that one, I'll do this. That's not the point. She was not making a deal with God. Rather, she is showing her heart. She is dedicating her son and her heart, her life to the Lord, as if Abraham tried to sacrifice his son and Isaac to the Lord. So here we see that she committed it to God, committed herself and everything to the Lord. That's the power of prayer. We cannot commit ourselves to our God and our Lord, Jesus Christ, if we don't pray. I don't know if this is true or not, but I see 2015 and 16, the 21st century, we don't see that many commitment if we compare it to 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And then why? We see not many people pray. Hannah raised Samuel for probably 3 years, based on the chapter 1. And then she brought Samuel to the priest Eli, and he lived forever. Now, this is really interesting thing. We know the rest of the story. Samuel became the leader of God's people. He's a big figure. And then he anointed David, even Saul. He anointed David as a king of Israel. And then through the line of David, we know the story. King of kings, the Lord of lords, our Lord Jesus Christ was born. So if we read the Bible, the Jesus Christ, all the way go back to David, even Samuel's story. Jesus was born to fulfill the promise of God and His saving grace. Hannah's prayer connects us with Christ today. That's the power of prayer. In our distresses and troubles, sometimes doubt, uncertainty of the future of our life, even our church, where do you go? I mean, this is time to pray. We don't have to find answers for our lives. We have to, but go to God first. We need to come to our Lord and pray first. Not one time, but every day. Not just only morning, but evening, giving ourselves to the Lord. And Jesus says, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. We don't have because we didn't ask. Seek and you will find because we didn't seek. Knock, it will be opened to you. This is what Jesus said. So holding this word, and spend our time to pray more this year. Tim Keller says in his book, prayer is to tune your heart to God. That's what happened to Hannah, we see that. And also he said in his book, prayer is a spiritual pilgrimage. We're making a long journey to know God through our prayer. Well, as Reformed Christians, we love to hear what John Calvin says. So I look it up, what John Calvin says. John Calvin says, our chief exercise of faith is prayer. And he says that through prayer ought to be nothing else but a pure affection of our heart as it is about to draw near to God. So we bring ourselves to God through prayer, to pour out our hearts to God. That's prayer, what John Calvin says. Brothers and sisters, what about our prayer life of 2015? I know you prayed somehow, some point, maybe every day. You came to our prayer meeting Wednesday, in the small group meetings. Do we tune our hearts to God, and do we turn our hearts to or ourselves or something else? Do we try to find ways and our thoughts and our solutions, or just asking God and finding His way? As I mentioned before, Hannah could have asked Elkanah to do something. If our in that position, maybe I could ask him, hey, do something. I'm going to leave you tomorrow. I'm already packed. She could have asked Elkanah to do like that. Maybe that was the easiest way, quickest way, best way to solve the problem, get rid of her trouble. But where is God in her situation? She came to God with her troubled heart. She wept bitterly, not just weeping, but wept bitterly. And then she cried and she prayed hard. Even there's no sound, only her lips are moving. That's serious. And after all this, her prayer experience, this is what she said in verse 3. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. Why? For the Lord is a God of knowledge. God knows everything. And by Him actions are weighted. We know that Hannah is directly speaking, talking to the arrogant, you know, lady, her rival, Peninnah here. But this particular verse applies to us. If we don't pray, if we are trying to find ways to solve the problem with our power and our knowledge, and Hannah is speaking to us, talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. Why? Because the Lord is a God of knowledge. God knows everything. The Word of God speaks to you and me. Simply, conclusion is, come to Christ through prayer to know Him better, to get to know Him better. Not just one time and two and three and four, and trust Him alone, finding His way. As God answered to Hannah, God will surely answer to our prayers this year. That's what we see from our teaching from Hannah's prayer today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just opened and read one of wonderful prayers from the Bible, Hannah's prayer. Lord, there are many people in the Bible, they prayed. Even Moses prayed a lot, and Abraham prayed, and other people prayed. But there is a reason for finding Hannah's prayer, and specifically here at this point. Lord, would you please help us? We don't have to understand about a prayer at all. Maybe it's very difficult for us to study on prayer, but at least help us to bring ourselves to you and more. Like Hannah, come to you more. Pray more this year. So that 2016 will be the year of a prayer in our lives. Lord, we want to do it. Help us. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen.